This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, so the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 281 of the Stacey West podcast. You may need to just press pause because I may have tempted you into going and getting a McDonald's, but you can get McDelivery, I think a wise man once told me. But if you don't want junk food that will probably make you obese, then you can just listen right on. I am your host, Gary, and I am joined by Charlie Beeston. How are we, sir?
I am very well. Now craving a McDonald's, a McDelivery, but I'm being good. I'm being healthy because I run.
Well, yeah, okay. I'm going to pick that apart a little bit. We can come on to the running. Yeah, it was a nice segue. We just discussed off air about you not doing segues, so you've tried one straight away. Jesus Christ, honestly. I was about to say something really...
That wasn't even actually a segue. That was just me trying to get the do you run thing in there immediately.
I was about to say something really off there and I stopped myself, and you know how bad it must have been if I stopped myself saying it.
You only stopped yourself because we're recording.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's right. but no, you say you crave a McDonald's, but the way you eat with steaks and stuff, I didn't know McDonald's did rump steak.
Well, no, to be fair, I tried to sort of G up the ad and say that I was craving a McDelivery after your enthusiastic advert, but no, I don't really have Mackies. I'm too fine for that.
Do you have McDonald's at all?
Not really. Very rarely. Only if I'm really travelling to an away game that, like, the only thing in the service station is Mackies and the M&S is shut.
Well, so if you went to a service station on an away day, you would go to M&S over McDonald's or Burger King or KFC?
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes I might want a meal deal from, like, an M&S.
Oh, my Lord. Are you middle class? Does your parents live in a house that's something manor or something estate, like Green Acres Manor or something?
No.
Are you sure?
Something farm. No.
Yeah, I was going to say manor farm. Manor farm it's estate.
It may or may not have a title as well as a number.
Wow.
I wish.
I'm just thinking you know, with all your steak and all your lack of McDonald's, for an away day for me. When we used to go on Shane's bus, because we're on Andy's bus now, we used to go with a guy called Shane. And that used to be one of the highlights for me was we had breakfast at a place called Shortcakes in Rugby that's now a charity shop. Actually, it's my mate's antique shop. But there we go.
And then I assumed
it was a KFC on the way home, and it didn't matter where we went. Like, even if we went away to Mansfield, it'd be like, we're going to stop for a KFC on the way home or whatever. We don't go away to Mansfield because they're in the lower division, aren't they? So
for now, so there we go. I was there on Tuesday though.
Where, Mansfield?
Yeah, Mansfield versus MK Dons. I went there and actually bumped into a fan of the pod as well who recognised me. Nice. Jonathan Harries, because I was in the away end.
Recognize me. Yeah.
What can I say? You know, it's made my head blow up.
Hello, he's a good guy, John. Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah. I like Jonathan. You know what? I can't do what you do. I couldn't go, like, if I get a Saturday free and someone goes, oh, do you want to come and watch, I don't know, Shrewsbury and Barnsley? I'd be like, no, not really. Tuesday night, I'd be like, tonight, because I don't like going out in the week, full stop. If my mate Matt's listening, and he's probably not, because my mates don't listen to the podcast, neither do my family. But if my mate Matt was listening, he will laugh now, because I don't like going out in the week. I'm like a hermit, and he loves calling me a hermit. So I'm going out tonight for chips. Fish and chips at Ludford, which will be, well, I say fish, I don't eat fish. Don't eat anything where you don't know where it's been. You don't know where fish has been in the sea, do you? You can't tell. So, going to go out for that. It's all food related.
Now I don't want fish. I never want to eat fish again now. You've ruined fish.
Well, do you know what? I never used to eat seafood, and that was genuinely, that was the reason I came up with. The actual reason I came up was because I once saw somebody choking on a bone from the chip shop on a fish bone. And I'm like, well, I'm not eating that then. I don't eat food that's risky. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's a difference between like a beef curry that's risky just because it's, you know, you need to put the toilet paper in the fridge, whereas a prawn curry can be incredibly dangerous. So yeah, and I used to basically say I don't eat anything that I don't know, I can't see where it's been. And then somebody's like, well, you've never seen inside an abattoir, which was a really good point. And I wasn't
going, I'm screwed then.
Yeah. If you couldn't eat things. There we go. What are we? 4 minutes in, and we've got our first blind joke, and I haven't made it.
I'm only beating you to it.
So we could talk about football, but we don't have a game to talk about. We did questions with me and Chris, so we've got a little list of stuff to go through. But I wanted to raise a quick... I went to ask you a question because something happened to me this week, and it is tenuously football-related, that made me wonder if I'm weird or if it's just a football thing. So I have a cactus... It's not here now, but it's usually just on the windowsill. And that cactus is called Gainey. So I named my cactus after Peter Gain. Now, I've had this cactus since 2003, and I actually knocked it off the window and the glass broke. And it's a resilient thing because it was right when my house flooded in Newtoft. It was wrapped up in the dark and left in a cupboard in a box for 2 years. And I brought it out and it was just like, oh, yeah, brilliant. Here we are. So it's nice and resilient. But I wondered if it was just me that had this kind of habit of naming pets and to some degree plants after Lincoln players. And just to go back, I had Costello the goldfish, which on reflection sounds a little bit like a porn star name, but I had Costello. I had Forrester, who was an angel, like a clown pufferfish type thing, like a clown cichlid, that was with an X. She named hers Angel and mine was Forrester. I've had Sedgemoor the guinea pig. In fact, I had two guinea pigs. One was Sedgemoor, but the other one I called Elton. And that wasn't after a Lincoln player. That was after Elton John. And do you know what? I got Elton for Christmas and he died on Boxing Day. And I had to take him back to Pets at Home. And they were like, they gave me £15 back for him. And then they just chucked him in a box behind the counter. It was the saddest Christmas ever. And recently we've had chickens, Reedy and Akindi. And we've only just got rid of Akindi. Stopped laying. Didn't lay for nearly 2 years. Useless. Anyway. But what about you, Charlie? Any Lincoln City related naming stories?
Well, I don't have any pets. Never had any pets. So that's an immediate non-starter. I don't really think I've ever named an inanimate object over anything Lincoln. I don't really think I've ever named an inanimate object, to be fair.
Do you have any feelings at all?
No. No, very, very cold. I know. I don't think it's weird to be naming things after Lincoln. Maybe not quite as sort of on the nose and unsubtle as you've done it by just straight up naming them the same name. But I don't think it's that sort of out there to do it.
No, I think you should name your stick Keith because it showed you the way. And Keith showed us the way through the 2000s. I know that Nick Oxbury's got a dog called Ainsworth. Mm. And we couldn't change Charlie's name, obviously. So Charlie is just named after...
Well, there you are.
Yeah, there's all manner of jokes there, isn't there, that I could name Charlie after. But we won't. We won't.
No.
So we mentioned the running, Charlie. So we'll start with the running. It's the Stacey West run challenge. Now, I'm sad to report I haven't actually had much opportunity to get out. So I've had a cold pretty much since Port Vale, run down, immune system, et cetera, et cetera. So I've run once since Port Vale, which was last Monday. But remarkably, we're up to £650, I've just noticed, which is phenomenal. Just looking through, thanks to Roger Rennell, Dave Tindall, Rob Cox, Blake Hutchinson. They're four of the last five who have very generously donated. How's the training going for you?
Yeah, I went out today, actually, and I thought I'd felt something in my foot. Thought I'd sort of pulled something. But I think what it was, I tried a different pair of shoes. I don't actually have any proper running shoes at the minute. And I need to sort myself some out. And obviously you and Ben have both recommended Lincolnshire Runner. When I'm sort of back home from uni over Easter break, I'll get in there and get some, obviously before the 14th. But yeah, I went out today, did 4K, I wanted to do 6, but I only did 4 in the end because, like I said, I was feeling this thing in my foot, but it seems absolutely fine now. I've put pressure on it and all that. So it's not an issue. I think it just was the shoes. So I'm going to go out again tomorrow. I'm going to do something I never normally do and go back-to-back days and head out tomorrow. But today was actually the first run for me since the back end of last week because, similar to you, I'd been feeling under the weather over the weekend. And just kind of had a really lazy couple of days, Sunday and Monday, to try and just kind of get rid of it. And luckily I'm fine now. So it's, yeah, I want to go back out tomorrow and then again Sunday. And I want to try on Sunday to do 8K, I think.
So how confident are you at the minute of getting around the 10K?
I'll get round it, I think. You know, whether or not I run the whole way, maybe not, but I'll certainly hope to get around it absolutely fine, as long as I don't get lost.
So on the subject of running, so this week the lovely Marl from Balegate Clothing met me outside the ground with a prototype running top. Now, Stu Fox, Fox Electrical, Balegate Clothing, very, very kindly has offered to donate 4 hoodies and 4 running tops to the Stacey West team, which is fantastic. The design has come through. The running tops are great. And what we were looking to do is offer those out for sale. So we're getting a good price from Balegate Clothing, fantastic people there. And then we will, any sort of profit on the resale, we will be donating to the foundation, probably through our running endeavors. Now, I haven't released those as yet, purely and simply because Miles off this week. And I just want to kind of firm up exactly what we can do before a full picture goes out. But they look really good. They fit really nice. I mean, we can describe them. They're kind of black and red. People saw the do you run question, which is obviously a hilarious gag from the podcast. There's the Stacey West logo on it. We've also got Balegate Clothing and Fox Electrical logos on. And you know, they didn't even ask for that. It was me that said, well, put your logos on the sleeves, because, you know, it's an absolutely wonderful gesture. So again, just thank you to Marl. Thank you to Stu. Those who don't know, Stu was involved in quite a serious accident as well a couple of weeks ago. I think we wished him well on the podcast when I wasn't on, but just, you know, for absolutely from me as well, personally, I'm from the Stacey West team. It's great to see that he's back home. He's got a journey ahead of him, but really, really top guy, donating the running tops. So they look all right, don't they? You've seen the full thing. They look quite good.
Yeah, they really do. I'm very much looking forward to running in one of those now. Yeah, really excited for it.
Yeah, you sounded almost as enthusiastic as I did on the first time I advertised McDonald's there, Charlie. Yeah.
Well, I'll sound more enthusiastic about going out running. Really something I don't think I'd ever be enthusiastic about. I'll do it and I'll enjoy it afterwards, but I'm never going to be enthusiastic about going out running.
No, it's like I'll never get enthusiastic about reporting injury news. But unfortunately, that brings us to our first order of business on the Stacey West podcast. Just the siren there isn't a sound effect. It is going off in wherever Charlie lives, the ghetto of Nottingham. But it could quite easily be a siren leaving Sinselbank with yet another injured player in the back. So for those who don't know, Michael Scabala's pre-match press conference for Barnsley came out earlier today as we're recording. We're recording on Thursday. And he confirmed what I'd heard whispers about all week,
Conor McGrandles is out for the season. He has to have an operation, which means that he will not be in action at all between now and the end of the season. Some people who have only seen the Radio Lincolnshire snippet and not the full podcast have said, well, he did say end of the season, we might be looking at signing him. Michael was then asked about that as well. And I just got the impression that he said there's a lot of moving parts before that happens. And for me, when you hear that, I think it's probably less likely. I think he's got a year left on his contract at Charlton. So I don't think we're likely to go and spend money on a player that you could probably replace similar quality for free out of the out-of-contract players. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Conor McGrandles, Charlie, injured. Another central midfielder. It feels like we're cursed a bit, doesn't it?
It really, really does. First half of the season, strikers. This half of the season is obviously the midfielders. There's two sides to this. There's the, first of all, the fact that it's Conor that's injured. I think Conor's been absolutely brilliant in his, four starts with one substitute appearance on top of that. I think he's been absolutely outstanding. I commented on the podcast a week or two ago that he made us forget that Ethan Hamilton wasn't playing. It's probably one of the biggest compliments I could have given him, because Ethan Hamilton was probably the player of the first half of the season, or at least in the top three. And Conor McGrandles was just able to slot into that position perfectly. And it was really great to see him back, to see him playing so well and being such a perfect part of that midfield three with Aaron and Ted Bishop as well. So for him, and for us not to be able to have him for the rest of the season, is obviously really, really disappointing on that front. But then there's a slightly bigger issue, which is now obviously the lack of midfielders, the fact that it's both him and Ethan Hamilton out for the rest of the season. Obviously, Alistair Smith is out on loan as well. Now, Jack Moylan came in on Saturday to play that role. And, you know, I mean, you and Chris said it on the podcast, and I definitely agree. I think he did really, really well. I was very worried when I saw him on the team sheet in that centre mid position, especially against Stevenage. I sort of thought that there was the risk that he could get bullied, and it could, with that being his first league start, it could just set him on a bit of a downward trajectory. I was really kind of worried about that. It's not what happened. He stepped up and was a key part of that. My only problem is if we're having a midfield three of him, Errahan and Ted Bishop, you know, there's an argument that maybe it's a little bit too attacking in that sense. It's a play against some other teams. For example, Barnsley away from home could find that quite an attacking midfield three that struggles against an attacking side like Barnsley. But we've got no other option, really. It's a terrible position to be in. The only saving grace, and it actually sounds a little bit daft, but the only saving grace is that we didn't beat Stevenage, because we're now not playing for anything. So it doesn't really matter. It's a lone player that's out till the end of the season. I don't want to sound too harsh, because like I said, I've really rated what Conor's done for us so far, but it's a lone player that's out for the rest of the season. I assume he'll probably end up going back to Charlton now for his rehabilitation. That may be kind of the end of his time at Lincoln City, potentially full stop. Who knows? As you said, moving parts. We'll have to see in the summer. You know, let's just kind of get through to the end of the season and see where we are in pre-season.
See, I think it's interesting. I mean, there's a few points to kind of unpack from there, if I may. Firstly, you say there about it being kind of too attacking. I understand that, but you know, we're not going down and we're not going up. So as the song goes, why not just go for it? Do you know what I mean? Why not just stick Jack Moylan and Ted? And to be fair, Ted is a lot like Tom Pett. I mean, he's better than Tom Pett, and that's no disrespect to Tom. But he was like Tom in that he can play kind of facing goal in the six, or with his back to goal in the eight receiving the ball. So I think you could arguably say, well, we can sit Bishop next to Arahan, and then it's whether we play Moylan, it's whether we play Mandroyu. There's the Jack Burrows factor, that we don't really know what the situation is with Jack. And, you know, I always say in these interviews, in these pre-match interviews, it's what's not asked that's almost as important as what is asked. Now, that's not as much the case under Michael Scabala, because he's not a closed book. But the previous head coach was very much a closed book, and you know, you almost felt that there were some things that we were told, that the media were told they weren't allowed to ask about. So I do sometimes just wonder, well, is Jack Burrows, how close is he? Because it was a few weeks, wasn't it? But he's been out, off the top of my head, he must have been out, what, a month and a half at least now?
Before Blackpool, wasn't it?
Exactly. Was it before the Blackpool game? So you're talking,
didn't he have that car crash on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, but what I thought he had been back. I thought he had been back after the car accident.
I thought he was out for the whole month of January at first because it was billed as a month.
No, he played last game. He played was against Burton.
Oh, right.
He came on as a late sub against Burton. He played against Peterborough as a last minute sub, and he played against Wickham. He started the game against Wickham. But anyway, so he can play central midfield. If it was however many weeks, is he might be on the verge of coming back in. But that would still pose the question to me. Well, he's a lone player. We don't have all that much to play for. Yeah, I'd rather see our own players get a little bit of a run out. So it's a massive opportunity, I think, for Jack Moylan. It could also be a big opportunity for Danny Mandroyou. A chance, maybe a pathway back for him into... Oh, pathway. We haven't had that in a while. pathway back into the first team for him. So that's kind of... That was one of the things that I wanted to discuss. I can't think what the other one was now. You'd made a point, and I'd thought, you know what, I want to come back on that. And I can't for the life of me think what it was.
Obviously wasn't that important then.
No, it was good. It was groundbreaking. It was the sort of thing that people listen to the podcast for. But I have so many good ideas. They come and go so quickly that they slide out. So yeah, it is difficult. I think it'll be interesting against Barnsley to see how we go. I think they play two in the holding midfield role, and they play like a box midfield, don't they, of four, I think, like with two eights or tens or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see how we line up against them. But I think you throw caution to the wind. Just go for it now. Do you know what I mean? We haven't got anything to lose. The fact is, if we finish 20th, we don't go down. I mean, we would have to be bad to finish 20th. It's all right. Everyone going, oh, it'd be nice to finish 9th. Would it? You know, fans are going to be paying their money. We're 10th at the minute, 52 points. So we're staying up. Ah, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's go and try and win all our games. If we won all of our games between now and the end of the season, it would still be 72 points. So we ain't getting in the playoffs. Season's over. 10 games left, Charlie. 10 games left. It's a zero. It says 30. Oh, no, it'd be 82. Dickhead.
I was going to say.
That's why I write and don't do maths.
yeah, I was very confused. I'm all for going for it.
Oh, you can absolutely see that.
I can. I'm all for going for it. And, you know, hopefully in a lot of games, we're going to have exciting attacking football then from the midfield onwards, which I think we're starting to have anyway. And, you know, we could get some really nice results and performances. And the thing is I've said it on the podcast so many times this season, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, but at the start of the season, all I wanted was top 10 with a positive goal difference, because that will have beaten last season's 11th with a zero. I think it looks like we're going to be getting that, you know, providing a major capitulation. I really do think we're going to be getting that this season. So, I'm also more than happy. Let's just go for it. Let's try and have some great away days, some great home matches between now and the end of the season. And then build in the summer again for another potential playoff push this time next year.
Another bit of news coming out of Michael Scabala's press conference was Adam Jackson back in full training. The mask is off. So he's going to be in contention. And it's great. I love Jacko, so I'm really pleased he's back. Isn't it frustrating when you think we really want to go to be playing kind of two centre-halves, four at the back, and we've got Rowan, Jackson, O'Connor, Mitchell, TJ, Omer, all who can play in there. Of course, the other positive to that is if Jacko's back in, we could perhaps afford TJ to play right wing back. We could perhaps therefore actually deploy Lass in central midfield, which is what he arrived as. So Jacko coming back does kind of give us options, and that's just a little positive to offset the negative. And when I say little positive, I don't mean that negatively towards Adam Jackson, because he's been a huge figure for us. And for some, I think he would be in the running for player of the season, which is an interesting, I'll pick your brain on that in a moment. So him coming back, when I say small, I'm not kind of undermining what he brings to the side. It's just, it's a central defender where, you know, we could play six or seven at the back and have a better central defence than any team in this division.
Yeah, it's really frustrating sometimes when you're hearing positive injury news in terms of players coming back and you sat there then thinking, God, it's another defender. Like, it's great because they are all so good. And, you know, me and Chris have this conversation, it seems, every month on the monthly show about well, which defenders do we pick? I think Rowan is almost guaranteed to be in our sort of preferred 11 as a left-footed defender. Then it's kind of two out of the three at the minute between Jacko, Mitchell and O'Connor. And it's almost impossible to pick two of the three most of the time. So, yeah, it's a nice problem to have. And it'll be nice to have him back for the running. Absolutely. Especially considering, you know, he's one of our players and he's here for next season. Hopefully, provided we don't sell him in the summer.
So before we drop on to Barnsley, I've touched there on player of the year. I mean, it's the beginning of March, so it's a little bit early to be thinking seriously about it. But you always know at this stage of the season who's going to get it and who's not. For instance, with the greatest respect, you know that Dylan Duffy ain't going to win player of the season, not because he's been bad, but you know who the front runners are. Do you know what I mean? You know it's not going to be Ali Smith. You know it's not going to be Ben House because he's not played. So there are a kind of a nucleus, I would say, probably of four or five players who could be up there for player of the season. I'll tell you what, without having to nail the colours to the mast, tell me your favourite and second favourite.
Oh, okay. You limited me to two.
Otherwise, it's not player of the season, is it? It's a five-a-side.
No, I know. I will just say, if we had this conversation 3 weeks ago, and I know we're not, we're having it now, yeah. Ethan Hamilton would have been in the conversation. I think the fact that he's now out for the rest of the season, I can't really have him in the top two because I want a player that's been consistent for the whole year. So Jacko is he's in the top two. And I'm actually going to put him with Lucas Jensen. And I'm going to put Lucas Jensen top, Jacko second.
Wow. Okay, mm-hmm. That really is interesting. Well, mine's Ethan Arahan. Hands down. I think Arahan's been superb throughout. He's been consistent. There was a slight dip in form, which kind of goes against me saying he's been consistent post Kennedy, pre Scubala. But I think it was only matched by everything else around him. I think he was a solid choice. And my other shout is Lass. Because I don't think we can underestimate how good Lass Sorensen's been. And at the end of the show, we're going to do a little bit of talk about stats and why Scout. I can just hear people at the minute going, oh, well, that means I'm going to have 10 minutes to listen to music while I'm running instead. But no, you're going to want to listen to this. We'll explain it in a little time. And Lass gets a mention in this, and we're talking divisional, not Lincoln City. And I think, Lass and Ethan for me. But what does that say about the squad, right? That we had loan players who went back. We've had players who played in the first half of the season who didn't play in the second. We've had players who have been injured first half of the season and are now only playing in the second. And we've still picked four different players for player of the season. And Sean Rowan's in that conversation for many as well. Yeah. No doubt at all.
I think Alex Mitchell is actually in the car, and I know I'll probably get, you know, he's 100% in the conversation for that as well. And like we said, we've already mentioned the fact that Ethan Hamilton, had it not been for his season-ending injury in the middle of February, would also be in the conversation. I mean, okay, yes, maybe more since Scubala's come in and the second half of the season particularly, but Ted looks like if he carries on his form until the end of the season, you'd want him in a conversation.
We're in a lot of conversations here, aren't we?
We really are. There are so many players. The only reason at the minute that I've picked Lucas Jensen as my top is purely for the fact, and I said it in our group chat the other day, is that I think he's probably the most underrated player in the squad by Lincoln fans, because I think he had a little bit of a shaky start towards the start of the season. There was a couple of things that I wasn't 100% comfortable with him in goal. And he's absolutely flourished. There is a very, very good chance that he ends up with the League One Golden Glove by the end of the season as well, if he carries on the way he's going. And he would deserve it. I think he's been outstanding between the sticks. And considering the strength of our goalkeeping position over the last few years, with some of the loans we've brought in, this being our first permanent in a while, he's amazing. Absolutely top class.
I agree with you on Jensen. And I think because a keeper is always somebody that you are instantly suspicious of. Now, Alex Palmer, if you remember, he was man of the match against Oxford in his first game, won 2-0. We should probably have lost 3-2. He was outstanding. So as soon as you've laid down that marker, then you're a decent keeper. Josh Griffiths never got going because there was a mistake on the opening day against Gillingham. There was a mistake against Wickham. People were always susceptible. All of a sudden, he's made mistakes. He's too young. He's not this. He's not that. Carl Rushworth, people were looking at him last season, going, oh, he's a bit small. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. By the time he's left, he's earned that respect. So I think that's what we've got with Jensen. People are looking at him, oh, his kicking's not great. And he still get it around me. Someone, he kicks and sometimes slices it. Oh, Luke Jensen. Yeah, but if he could do everything, he'd be playing in the Premier League. That's kind of what happens. He's a great shot stopper. He commands his area superbly. I think we said he'd got, what, 11 league clean sheets this season, something like that. He's absolutely one of the players that he's going to be considered for player of the season. And an interesting point there on Ted Bishop, because we kind of said, oh, not, you know, under Skubala, yeah, okay. Bishop's played 29 league games this season. There's only three outfield players who have played more. And one of those is Ethan Hamilton. So in 2 weeks' time, assuming that Ted Bishop plays both games, only Sean Rowan and Ethan Arahan will have played more games this season than Ted Bishop, even though 10 of Ted's have been from the bench. So again,
I was going to say, what about minutes?
Yeah, minutes is very different because ten of Ted's has been from the bench, definitely. So yeah, it's interesting. He's likely to play, I think, against Barnsley. I think now we've got the injuries to McGrandles and definitely to Ethan Hamilton. Ted's almost certain to play, but for a little bit of a break from me and Charlie mumbling through the first 30 minutes. I don't know where that's gone. 30 minutes, Jesus Christ. We will go. We'll bring Ben in because Ben has been talking to Carlo from the Reds report about our upcoming game against promotion chasing Barnsley. And here's what they had to say.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, so the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18+, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I mean, you say you think you probably could make that top two, but if you look at the table, it's kind of in your hands at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's been a couple of things. Luke O'Connell is a really important player for us. Sits in front of the back three. He had a long spell of illness earlier in the year, so we really missed him. Not only was the replacement for him, and I don't want to knock any players, but just not at the same level, not that quality. The thing is with Connell, he makes Herbie Kane play a lot better. So Herbie Kane was probably playing 80%, still a class player, but you just knew he could do more. But he didn't get that service from the midfield, and they think alike. They make each other better. So when Connell came back in, it's funny that, well, not funny, it's telling that Kane started doing better, but also Adam Phillips in February, was it in February, if I get it right, or was it? No, I think it was February, where I think he scored 4 goals in 2 months. He scored 2 the whole season prior to. Now, if you remember last season, Phillips loved the goal from outside the area. He was always sort of like driving him in. Didn't really do that. And in an interview, he said that the red card at Wembley against that massive team from Sheffield, probably had more impact than he thought. And as a fan, you sort of think, I get that. But he would in May. Like, you know, we're in November now. Time has gone on. But I suppose as a player, that you know, it could. And he seems to have got rid of that. So the midfield is contributing with goals. And that's why I think we've now just a little bit more solid, a little bit more grit, a little bit more fight. Plus, if you look at the stats, you look at Davante Cole, 17 goals, that comes in patches. If you look at when he scores, he goes, you know, 4 or 5 matches, he'll score 4 in 4, 5 in 5, 6 in 5, whatever. And then he'll go 4 or 5 matches without. And it's telling that the longest he's gone without is like 5 matches. It's 6 now. So we thought he might was due to score on Tuesday, but didn't. So who knows on Saturday. But as a team, there's a couple of key players that make others better. I think Davante Cole up front allows McAtee a certain freedom to almost roam around and make a real nuisance of himself, and Cole will drop a little bit deeper and pick the ball up. Like I said, Connell makes Herbie Kane absolutely tick. And compared to last year, you know, it's a whole new back three. Two of the back three that will start on Saturday only joined us in January. And obviously a new keeper as well. So when Neil Collins came in, he had a bit of a job. He now knows his best 11. We now think we know what his best 11 is, because they're the ones that he keeps starting with. And I am an old-fashioned football fan. I think if you found your best 11, you need to play him. And I think it took a long time to find him, but yeah, he's got him. So that's, you know, it's a difficult match. We talked about form earlier. It's not easy. You know, Lincoln, it's not an easy match. And I said to you before, I think the occasion, it's whoever dealt with the occasion better on Tuesday when we hosted Bolton, and we know how that ended up. I think form is far more important when you face Lincoln, because like we said, last 6 matches, we've mirrored results. When we drew, you drew. When we won, you won. In the last 10, I think, is it, if I'm right, we've got 21 points and you've got 20. So there's very little to choose between these two sides, no matter where you are in the table.
Hi, I'm Lars Sorensen. You're listening to Brilliant. The Stacey
thank
West
you, Ben,
podcast.
And thank you in particular to Carlo from the Reds Report. I actually had, just before we go on, I had a dream about Ben the other day, because I was meant to do the podcast with Ben. I can't remember whether it was last Thursday or Sunday, one of the two.
Last Thursday.
It was Thursday, wasn't it? And I haven't been well. I mentioned it already on the podcast. That's called foreshadowing for people. To cover. So I genuinely haven't been particularly well. And I genuinely had a dream that Ben was sending video messages to our WhatsApp, crying and shouting and swearing at me and having a right pop because I didn't want to do a podcast with him. And the thing is, I don't. Like, he's right. But, you know, I didn't use it as an excuse. No, Ben and I will do a podcast at some point soon. The reason that we don't, just to dispel the myth, is typically Ben and I are the kind of lead presenter, and Charlie and Chris for some reason are the pundit experts. Don't pull that face, Charlie. So it just, you know,
crying. I'm gonna send you video messages.
Yeah, don't send the video messages in the night. So it just makes more sense. And obviously Ben and Charlie do the previews as well, and Chris and I do more of this sort of stuff. So there isn't any issue there, contrary to what my subconscious mind thinks. My subconscious mind also dreamt a little bit last night about Barnsley. I do tend to dream a little bit about Lincoln playing. I actually dreamt that we went to Barnsley and got beat. Now, we're on a great run of form. Almost certain that by the time you listen to this, Michael Scabala will have been awarded the Manager of the Month. If he is, there's only been one Lincoln City manager since 1998 who has won the game after being awarded Manager of the Month. The other 7 have either drawn or lost it. So it could be the so-called curse. But if you don't believe in all of that mumbo-jumbo rubbish, it's still a really tough prospect, I think, as Carlo and Ben were outlining, isn't it?
It really, really is. Barnsley, they've lost 1 league match since the last time we played them back in November. What was that? Scubala's first home match. And that one loss was actually at home to struggling lower mid-table Exeter. So maybe a bit of a chance in there. Barnsley are very much in the automatic fight. It actually reminds me a lot of their season last year, where it was kind of Ipswich, Plymouth and Sheffield Wednesday were very much the top three. But Barnsley kind of 10 to 15 games before the end of the season really looked like they were putting a run together to break into that top three. They just didn't quite get it then. It wouldn't surprise me if they do get it this time, though, because, you know, we have got a bit of a clear top three. It was the top three that most predicted at the start of the season: Portsmouth, Derby, Bolton. And Barnsley are now only 3 points behind the automatic promotion spots with a game in hand as well. So, you know, they are a very, very strong side. There's no denying that. They've actually only lost two games in the league and cup, excluding the BDSM trophy thing, since the end of September. So they are on an incredible run. They've got the best away record in the league, but not the best home record. Actually, they've only won half of their home games. It's kind of mid-table, about 11th in the league in terms of their home record, I think, if I remember correctly. Typically, they look to operate similar kind of formation at times in a sort of 3-5 back. Nicky Cadden and Jordan Williams, very much the two on the flank, on the kind of wing-backs roles. They're two fantastic players for this level, two that we could maybe be a little bit worried about. They're a very strong attacking side. They're actually only second behind Posh for goals for, with 66 this season. And bear in mind, that's a Peterborough side who, earlier on in the season specifically, were hailed as one of the best attacking sides in League One. And, you know, don't get me wrong, rightly so, but Barnsley are only two goals behind them for sort of that record this season. They have conceded 9 more than us this season, though. So we have got a much stronger defensive record than them. But they have got dangers going forward, as we know. Devante Cole, obviously, is a goal-scoring danger. But it's actually John McAtee that worries me most. He scored against us in the reverse fixture, and he was a constant threat throughout the whole match, the whole time he was on the pitch. So a little bit worrying about, yes, a little bit worried about him. But when we look back at that draw at our place, that 2-2 draw, it was obviously a big kind of attacking game. It was very much kind of hailed as Skubala's, obviously it was Skubala's first home match, but it was kind of hailed as the start of the Skubala era, and people being able to see the way he wanted to play. We were 2-1 down. Obviously, we were 1-0 up for the longest time, 2-1 down, I think by like the 70th minute, because they scored 2 quickfire goals. And then we spent a lot of time and a lot of pressure then to try and get another goal back, something that, you know, people said at the time we may not have seen play out in the same way if that was under Kennedy. But like I said, we got a draw at home with them. But that squad, Jovan started, Hack started, Ali Smith started. There was no Draper, House, Hackett, Taylor or Moylan, obviously. Ted was only on the bench, no Rowan, no O'Connor. So although we've just been talking about some of our injury concerns going into this game, not having McGrandles, not having Hamilton, maybe having to play a slightly more attacking midfield, we're actually probably in a stronger place in terms of most areas of the pitch going into this game. Obviously, it is away from home. It is against one of the league's top sides. I wouldn't count it out.
No, if you're a betting man, both teams to score is an absolute shoo-in this weekend. Because since November the 28th, there has only been one Barnsley game where somebody, two Barnsley games, I beg your pardon, one where somebody has recorded 0-0. And that was when they won 1-0 at Oxford. They've only failed to score at home, I think, on one occasion this season, which is at home to Blackpool when they lost 1-0. So like their last, 1-2-3, their last 8 results, lost 2-1 at home, drew 1-1, 1-2-1, drew 1-1 away, 2-1, 2-1, 4-2, 2-2. I mean, they score and they concede. Now, this could play into our hands, and it goes all the way back, loops all the way back to the McGrandles conversation about, do you know what, if you go to Barnsley and you're trying to shut up shop and you go there and try and draw 0-0, this Barnsley, not last year's Barnsley, because we won 1-0 there last year doing exactly that, they'll punish you and they'll beat you because they've got some wonderful players. I know you mentioned a couple there. I really like Josh Earle, who was at Fleetwood, wasn't he? I think he's a fantastic player. John McAtee, who I think has a brother who plays for Man City, if I've got the two of them, I may have got them mixed up. Adam Phillips, is he Barnsley still, off the top of my head?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Another wonderful footballer at this level. The boy Kane in the middle of the park, who was the Liverpool lad, I think, who was on loan at Doncaster. Mm. Is that, am I right again?
Yeah.
Just superb, superb footballers. Barnsley are a championship team in the making, a struggling lower-end championship team in the making, as nearly anybody that comes up out of this division is. But they absolutely deserve to be part of the promotion race. But they are so susceptible. And here we go. Jack Mulhall, if you are running at the moment, just slow yourself down a little bit. because I'm going to talk about XG, because there is something absolutely fascinating about Barnsley that I really want to bring up. Now, I often look at the XG table. So this is the league table as it would be if teams won and lost games on XG. So for those who don't know, XG, expected goals. So if Lincoln get an XG of 2.1 and Barnsley get an XG of 0.1, Lincoln would win the game 2-0. In reality, Barnsley may have actually won that game 1-0, so we've wasted our chances. So XG, the XG table literally just takes the actual XG outcome. So when we drew 2-2 with them earlier in the season, actually their XG was 1.54 and ours was 2.22. So the XG table would have taken that as a win for Lincoln City, not as a 2-2 draw. In the XG table, Barnsley are only 11th. And we are 8th. So despite their great run of form, they are outperforming the chances that they create. And you can see that in some of their recent games as well. So, for instance, they 2-2, Bolton 2, Barnsley 2 at the weekend, or in midweek rather. Bolton's XG was 4.4, Barnsley's was 0.75. They beat Wickham 4-2. Their XG was only 1.87. Wickham's was 1.45, could have been a draw. They beat Derby then 2-1, 0.49 XG to 0.93 by Derby. What Barnsley are is they are clinical, they're taking their chances, but they are actually, in my opinion, you ride your luck a little bit when you outperform your XG constantly, and that's not sustainable over the course of however long. So I think that's really interesting. So there's opportunity here. I'm going to go out on a limb, okay? Because I think we can win this game. And I think we can win this game without Conor McGrandles and Ethan Hamilton and Tyler Walker and Lewis Monsmer and Jack Burrows, all of those players that are injured. Because I think that this is the perfect game for a Michael Scabala side. I really do. We like to counter-attack, and we counter-attack quickly. You get Lass going down that flank, it's quick. You get Joe Taylor running in behind. There's going to be gaps in behind all over the place for Joe Taylor. That's not because Barnsley are bad at defending, but they haven't kept a clean sheet. When did the last keep a clean sheet? Barnsley, I'm going all the way back. So obviously Oxford was it, wasn't it? Yeah. Tuesday the 23rd. Before that, it was Wickham on the 28th of November. Before that, it was Horsham in the FA Cup. I mean, they don't tend to keep clean sheets. I think we can go there, and I think we can take something from this game. The other point is that Neil Collins is the other manager that's probably likely to lift manager of the month if it's not Michael Scabala. Because in February there was two draws and three, four wins. So the manager of the month curse could go straight over onto him.
Well, Lincoln fans get voting for Neil Collins. No, it's a really difficult one to try and predict, because on the one hand, we are 10 points. We are 10 games unbeaten. Obviously, last time we were 10 games unbeaten. Last year, we ended up getting 3 losses on the bats. I really don't see that happening here. This feels like the sort of form that isn't just one run of form. It feels like it's going to carry on for a long while. I'm not saying that we're never going to lose a game again, obviously. And we'll probably lose more than one before the end of the season. But I don't think Barnsley's going to be it. I do, on the Real EFL, we do some predictions, normally 4 or 6 every weekend. Now, Lincoln Barnsley isn't one that we're doing this week. But if I was typically, I try to be a little bit more objective when I'm sort of writing them. If I was to do this, I'd genuinely probably go for a 2-2 draw. Now, maybe on the preview, if I was on the preview, I'd be saying a win, because obviously you kind of want to back our team to win. But I really think that there is a great chance of a draw. And obviously, as you've mentioned, Gaz, both teams to score. If we're going to be going a little bit attacking, we know that they've got strength and ability coming at us in terms of attack. We've also got a very, very strong defence. Give me a 2-2 draw, something like that. I'd be really, really pleased.
So, a podcast listener has been messaging me about the reasons behind our recent upturn in form. And one of the reasons, one of the things he wants us to discuss is the impact that Chris Cohen has had or Cohen. Is it Cohen? Cohen. Probably the H is Cohen. Not silent. Cohen, yeah, yeah, Cohen. Cohen will be that one. Chris. The boy Chris from Nottingham Forest, yeah, and West Ham. That guy. Because here's an interesting statistic. He joined Lincoln City on January the 13th. That's when it was announced. The games prior to January the 14th, and we'll say the seven games prior to January the 13th, sorry, when he joined, we had lost five and drawn two of those. Since he's been part of the club, unbeaten in 10. Five wins, five draws. Now, is that coincidence? My initial feeling, sorry, I know you were about to...
No, go on.
My feeling is that it is and it isn't, because let's not forget that the 13th of January came after a fortnight, more or less, where Scabala had the players to do what he wanted rather than having to go Saturday, Tuesday, Monday, Friday, whatever it was over Christmas. So he'd had a 12-day period there where he could work with the players, which I think was a big thing, you know, trying to get some of their ideas in, trying to get a few bodies back, a little bit of fitness. So there's all manner of different things attached to that. But there's also no doubt whatsoever that having an extra pair of hands on the training field, and not just an extra pair of hands, but a guy who had been an assistant manager in the Premier League, who's helped Nathan Jones take Luton through the divisions as well, a respected professional footballer for many, many years. There's no doubt at all that that is obviously going to help. You know, I'm imagining that they could do smaller breakout groups for training if they needed to. It can free Michael Scavala up to work on certain different things. So, yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge the impact that Chris Cohen's had. And I think, you know, Lincoln fans of a certain age will cite having an assistant head coach or an assistant head manager as being vitally important to some managers. For instance, there's the... and I think it's a misconception, and one day I'll do an article either to prove or disprove it, but Peter Jackson with Neil McDonald, because Peter Jackson won a Manager of the Month while Neil McDonald was there. I'm not sure you were born back then, Charlie, to be honest.
Probably
it was
not.
2008. But, you know, everybody sort of said, oh, he's a great assistant manager. And then if he came in and people thought that it went a bit skew with, I don't agree, but I can see how it gets said. Mike Garrity, I thought was a good link up. I'm not being critical of Danny Butterfield, but I think that Mike Garrity added something a little bit different. And, you know, there's what role does the head coach play? Is he a conduit between the manager and the players? Is he the there's all manner of different things that Chris Cohen brings behind the scenes. So I just think that he is one of the factors behind it. I don't think he's the factor, but I certainly think it was worth just mentioning on the podcast.
Yeah, I think to answer the original question, is it a coincidence? And not at all. I agree it is one of a handful of factors. But one of the things that before Mark Kennedy was sacked, we had conversations off camera about me, really beginning to lose faith in him. And one of the key things in that was actually something that I'd learned it's like 3 weeks before he'd got sacked. It was actually at the evening with Jez George that me and Chris both attended. Now, it was said at that point that it was Tom Shaw that did all of our out of possession work, and Mark Kennedy was the person that was sort of the head coach behind our in possession work primarily, as well as obviously a couple of other coaches. Now, when I heard that, it suddenly made me lose all faith, because the out of possession work was the thing that throughout the whole of last season, even when things weren't looking too great at certain points, I was praising Mark Kennedy on, because I'm saying, yeah, but we may not be winning too many games. We may not be getting bums off seats, as, you know, was the stick to beat him with for most of last season. That's fine. But we're defensively solid. Look at our out of possession work. Look at how strong we are without the ball at our feet. This is, you know, we'll still be able to do something with this. Then when I learned that it wasn't him that was coaching that, or obviously, it's the book stops with the manager. I'll get that out of the way, of course. But the fact that that was primarily put onto Tom Shaw, suddenly I lost any kind of ability to give Mark Kennedy the same credit that I was giving. Now, let's say that hypothetically we're still in the same situation where Tom Shaw is our out-of-possession head coach, let's say. Now, to me, that then means that Chris Cohen is probably more working on the in-possession work. It's our in-possession work that is arguably improved the most, as much as our out of possession work is still strong and arguably improved on a little bit as well. Our in possession work has improved tenfold in this run of games and since that kind of new year, turn of the year. So Chris Cohen's surely got to deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, it's the bottom line, because Stone Cold says so. Stone Cold Charlie Beeston has said Chris Cohen deserves the credit. And so there we go. 316, all that sort of stuff. Brilliant. Wonderful. So I promised a little bit of stats stuff. Let's do a bit of stats stuff. Now, let me explain. I subscribe to Y-Scout, which is probably more expensive than it should be, but it's a nerd's paradise. You know, as a kid, I had spreadsheets for everything. If I had a collection, I had a spreadsheet for it. I have all my programs on a spreadsheet. I love a spreadsheet. And Y-Scout is basically one huge interactive spreadsheet. But what it does, it takes all of those stats and it works out the best players for each position in a division over the course of a season. So it has the best goalkeepers index, the best central defenders index, lateral defenders, which is fullbacks, defensive midfielders, central midfielders, attacking midfielders, lateral forwards, which is wide forwards and centre forwards. And it shows you the top 30 for every position. And I just thought it might be quite nice for the final few minutes of the show to have a look at who the best players in the division, according to Y-Scout, so according to the actual numbers, are, and where Lincoln City players rank in that kind of top 30. So you up for that, Charlie?
Absolutely.
But you couldn't say no, because otherwise I would have just gone off the screen and done it on my own. So let's start with goalkeepers. I'll tell you what, because you haven't seen these, so let's start with goalkeepers. Because you do a bit on the Real EFL as well, so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. So if I was to say Lucas Jensen is not the best goalkeeper in the division, according to Y-Scout, who do you think might be?
Let's go Portsmouth. Let's go Will Norris.
Will Norris is the ninth best goalkeeper, in according to this. The best goalkeeper in the division, according to Y-Scout, is Nathan Baxter at Bolton Wanderers.
Okay.
And the second best goalkeeper in the division, according to Y-Scout, is Lucas Jensen.
We take that.
Third best is Roberts at Barnsley. So two great goalkeepers facing off against each other, which I find quite interesting. So there we go. Now, central defenders, there is not a Lincoln City central defender in the top 20. Now, I find that fascinating, given how I think how strong our central defenders are. I can understand it maybe because they might work it out. It might be minutes and all sorts of bits and bobs as well. So, but we've only got one central defender in the top 30, and that is Adam Jackson, who comes in at 22. Any ideas on who might be the top two? Both of them have had notable games at Sincil Bank for different reasons.
Right, so Aaron Cashin
is the best, yep, according to this.
He's the best. How?
Best defender in this division.
That's crazy. Who else? Who's played well? Pierre Gianni.
Is correct, Charlie. Whoa, you are the reason you're on the Real EFL podcast, because you know your stuff. You know your stuff. If Ben was on, he would have thought Pierre Gianni was a takeaway. Right, next up.
Sorry. It probably is, though, in all fairness.
Now we're on to right backs and left backs, so lateral defenders. Just looking down the list, there is one Lincoln City player in the top 30. And that's Lasse Sorensen. And Lasse is, according to the Y-Scout stats, the fourth best wide defender in this division. And he's the second best right-sided right wing back. Well, obviously, he's right-sided. So he's the second best right wing back behind CJ Hamilton. Otherwise, Lasse Sorensen. Now, I think that is... It's not one of the reasons I picked him as player of the year, but I think it's almost vindication for people who have kind of one or two people online I've seen questioning him a little bit in recent weeks. You know, I can see some of his technical ability. I think me and Chris talked about it a few months ago, where you sign a player from a Premier League side or a Championship side like Lass was from Stoke, and you expect them to come with the technical ability, but without that, maybe the fight, the desire, the application. Whereas Lass came with all of the latter stuff. And we're not saying he's not technically able, because he is, but he's, you know, he isn't his primary strength. So any ideas on the top two? I'll give you one guess to get one of the top two.
I'd go Harrison Burrows.
Is top. You are good at this game. Have you got Y Scout? You are good at this.
I wish. I'm not sure on who the other one would be. Josh Dacus-Cogley.
No, he's eighth, actually. But it's not a bad guess. Luke Lee.
Yeah.
At Wickham.
It's a weird one, though, because he's been deployed in so many different positions this season. So
left back, left centre back, left central midfield.
So yes, it's a little bit of a cop out.
Here's a little bit of a kicker. There's not a single Lincoln City player in the top 30 defensive midfielders.
And that is why stats are rubbish. I'm suddenly with you, Jack Mulhall.
We stand with Jack. We should have got that one on the top. But I mean, it's interesting, but you've got in the top five, fifth Marlon Pack, fourth El Mizuni at Leighton Orient, Kipriano at Peterborough third, George Dobson at Charlton second. Any ideas on the top? A player that I've actually championed a lot, shouldn't really be playing in this division, but also not really a holding midfielder as such.
Mark Leonard.
Cameron Brannigan.
Ooh.
So then there's best central midfielders. So again, you know, if you don't appear in the defensive midfield, this is where we've actually got two players in this. Ethan Arahan, who comes in at 20, and Ethan Hamilton, who comes in at 10. Top, Anthony Evans. Bristol Rovers.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that one.
No, Herbie Kane. Well, like I said, I think there's some ambiguity perhaps around with defensive midfielders and central midfielders. Now, best attacking midfielders, we do not have anybody. Any ideas?
No, because, again, it's such a difficult position to try and pick. Because who's it going to include? Because there are some players that play as more false nines that I would call strikers, but are number 10s. So go on. Who?
Top five. Chislett at Port Vale, his fifth. Leonard, Northampton, fourth. Ruben Rodriguez, third. Mitch Pinnock at Northampton, second. Harvey Nibbs.
Anyway. Do you know, I wanted to say Harvey Nibbs, but I wasn't sure whether he was going to be in there.
So now we're on to wide players. We have two Lincoln City players, two lateral forwards, as they're called. They're 14th and 15th.
Rico and Danny.
Rico Hackett and Danny Mandroyou. Now, I find that interesting because all the criticism that Danny Mandroyou gets, and actually a respected stats-based product that's used in the industry to sign players and is widely held up as, you know, we're not talking about somebody's opinion here. We're talking about stats and facts, which football's really stats driven. Has Danny Mandroyou was the 15th best wide forward, and he hasn't really played that much for us on the left wing, really, has he? I found that quite interesting. And that has him ahead of Gareth McCleary, who I really like, Junior Quaterna at Fleetwood, who I thought was superb. That's ahead of Adjiboy at Peterborough. Ahead of Adjiboy. I mean, what a player he is. Any ideas on the top two?
Kwame Poku?
Yeah.
Mendes Lang?
No, Mason Clark. Top two at Peterborough. But also, Aziz at Reading. There's no wonder Reading are staying up, even despite the points, are they? Because they have a ridiculously talented side. It's just so sort of narrow and depleted. And finally, the best centre forwards. Now, it's fairly obvious, I think, that Lincoln City have nobody in this because we haven't had any centre forwards for so long. The actual and there's a few surprises, I think, here in the top, in the top 10.
Do you want to start guessing?
You could, well, that's hence the silence, yeah.
Well, that's fine. Okay, right. Well, we'll start off with Devante Cole. He'll be in the top 10 for sure.
He's fifth.
We'll go Alfie May.
He's third.
We'll go Reed, the lad from Stevenage.
He's second.
We'll go Chris Martin, Bristol Rovers.
He's 13th.
Oh, okay. A little bit lower than what I would have had him as. Let's go with Dion Charles.
Is sixth. Now, my James choice Collins. Is... Yeah, Aaron Collins, you mean? Oh, no, James Collins.
I meant James Collins.
James Collins is 12th. I would have gone for Aaron Collins, who's 8th, and Jordan Rose, who's 7th.
Well, you would have gone for them because you can see this list.
No, because I went... No. I discovered this thanks to Chris, and what I did was I actually picked the England B team if it only came from players from League One. And so in my mind, I was thinking, well, it's either going to be Jordan Rhodes or Aaron Collins, who, of course, are Scottish and Welsh, respectively. So that made me look... That's yeah, so I've mugged myself off, but yeah. I'll do it on my terms, not yours. The best striker in this division is a Guatemalan international.
Well, hang on a minute. Because... Guatemalan international.
Yep.
Isn't that Mendes Lang?
Yep.
Why is he in the strikers?
There you go. Seven forward.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. He's played 30% of his games at centre forward, apparently.
That seems a lot more than what I would have hazarded a guess at.
Well, we've got this far, so we will have a look. I mean, I thought you were the real EFL expert, Charlie. You don't even know what position Mendes Lang plays.
Poor from
it. Yeah. No, I just found that interesting. I mean, to bring it back round to a Lincoln City context, because we're rambling a little bit now, but I just found it quite good that Lass was fourth and Lucas was first, because I think that is a reflection of, you know, I was chatting to Jack about the eye test, and he says, well, we talk about stats. The eye test tells me this was good, or the eye test tells me this was crap. And the classic example of that goes all the way back to the Colchester game where we lifted the title in 2017-18 or 2018-19, because we lost that game 3-0. And the eye test told us it was crap. But actually, on terms of stats, we deserved to win that game, which was utterly ridiculous. Just out of interest, Mendes Lang has played... at least one full game as centre forward in the past month. So, interesting. But yeah, the eye test obviously told us that it was one thing, and the stats told us it was another thing. So sometimes it's nice to kind of, for you and I, to say, well, I think Lass or I think Lucas Jensen, and then to actually have a look at the stats and go, yeah, the eye test was right, but the stats are right as well. Because when those two things align, I think that's really interesting. The Colchester game, we had 14 shots, 3 on target. Whereas Colchester had 10 and 5 on target. We had 64% possession while they had 35% possession, but they won 3-0. Although I didn't have Wyscout at that point, and the XG was 2.12 to 0.8, so actually we should have lost 2-0, not 3-0. But there we go. Right. Well, we've filled that out, Charlie, haven't we?
We have, considering we're sat there worried about... You know, we always do this. We're always sat there wondering what we're going to end up talking about for an hour when there's only one game, and we still manage it every single time.
You know, if on the 10K day, and that wasn't a bad edit, this is genuinely me just coming out with something completely unrelated, but if you had to walk up to the start line with a theme song, what theme song would you have?
Oh...
Because I've got one for you, but I'm not sure if it's particularly... what?
Well, no, go on.
It's Aerosmith. It's an Aerosmith song. Have you ever heard the song Blind Man by Aerosmith?
No.
Listen to it. And it's great because the lyric is, I met a blind man who taught me how to see. And I just thought that was quite good. That,
actually, yes. No, I have.
Yeah.
That would be quite good. I was just thinking, is there a song that just goes somewhere, something along the lines of like, where on earth am I going?
Yeah. You could have you too. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And then in brackets, the actually. Route. Yeah, the route.
Yeah, that work.
You see, I always used to think when I first did it, I'd quite like Beck, Loser by Beck. I think that would be quite, because, yeah, I'm not going to win it. And obviously, we were kind of having this discussion when I got married, because I came down the aisle here at the garden to Should I Stay or Should I Go by the Clash, which I thought was good.
Oh, did you?
So, yeah. Oh, you were there, weren't you?
I don't remember that.
You don't? You were there, weren't you?
Song. Yeah, I was.
I did, didn't I? Yeah, Fee's nodding. Yeah, I definitely did. Okay. I thought you were blind, not fucking deaf as well.
Obviously wasn't listening.
Oh, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, dogs, cats, whoever else is listening, 1 hour and 3 minutes later. You've lost an hour of your life to us. I hope that it was worthwhile for us. It was almost certainly worthwhile. We haven't had a game to talk about, but we've still found plenty to talk about relating to Lincoln City. We will be back on Sunday. I believe it's myself and Chris. It will be my last podcast for a couple of weeks. After that, you will have Ben gracing your ears as host. And I think there's one where Charlie and Chris are being left alone. So hopefully they don't break anything while I'm away.
No promises.
So by the time you listen to this, Michael Scabala could be manager of the month. There's an article on the website that says why that's not such a great thing in terms of the curse. But obviously, if you don't believe in all that mumbo jumbo, hocus pocus rubbish, it would be brilliant to see him awarded manager of the month. Be even more brilliant for us to go to Barnsley and take something with a patched up squad one day. One day, sometime in the future, the Stacey West podcast will come online and we won't have to talk about injuries. But until that day, we will continue talking about injuries. We will continue selling you McDonald's. We will continue taking the mick out of each other. And we will continue winding up each and every episode with the same three words. Up the imps.
Up the imps.
It's the 90th minute and all your mates around watching the imps on iFollow. You've got your McNugget share boxes on the go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, but then you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.